Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Be Unique Radio's Manifest Monday Show. I'm your host, Mary Brotherton, and every Monday at 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time, we release a new episode to help you learn more about the power of manifesting. The more you listen, the more you'll learn. On the second Monday of each month, our sponsor, Jillian Harris, joins us. Visit her at theconsciouscougar.com and learn more about how she uses the power of color, energy, thought, emotions, and crystals to help her manifest and how she can help you learn how to manifest even better. Call 516-418-5651 on the second and fourth Mondays at 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time when I am live with Jillian or possibly other guests. Be sure to follow Be Unique Radio on Blog Talk Radio or your other favorite platforms so you don't miss a single one of our most popular podcasts. Now let's get to today's topic.
Happy Valentine's Day, Jillian.
Love. That's the first word out of my mouth to humans today. How about that?
That's awesome. I love it. And did you know this is our most popular show? We have 12 shows. And the Manifest Monday show is the one that is most downloaded.
Wow. Well, now, thank you, everybody. We are happy to be of service because it's a service to me, too, when we do this. I want you to know.
Yes, I know. Like, well, see, that's what, when you help someone do anything, it's like looking in a mirror. You
it
give
is.
And you get.
It is. That's
and,
true.
And manifesting especially. You know, I get the most joy when people say, well, I want to manifest so-and-so, but I don't know how.
Yeah.
And, you know, in fact, I had one lady call in the last Monday of January. She called in, and I was just yapping myself, and then all of a sudden there's a caller, and I'm like, oh, yay. And I said, how can I help you? And she said, well, I want to manifest, you know, a man in my life. And I'll tell you how I've done it so far, but it's not working, so I don't know what I'm doing wrong. She said, I've made a list.
Can you tell me what she was doing? Because I bet she was doing what a lot of people just off the top of their heads think they're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. She said, I'm making a list of everything I don't want in a man.
Oh, God.
I'm like, oh, no wonder. I said, give me one example of what don't want in a man. She said, well,
right.
I don't want my man to cheat on me.
I said,
so what you need to do is say that you are grateful to have a faithful, loving, kind, and caring man in your life.
Yeah. One
she goes, oh,
monogamy.
Wow. Boy, that sounds good. I had a man call in, and he said something about didn't know if he should change himself so that he could attract a different kind of woman. And I said, are you broken? He goes, no, I don't think so. I said, then why in the earth would you want to, because he was thinking he'd become a bad boy so that he could attract a girl who wanted to turn him into a good boy. I said, no, it doesn't work that way. That is so not the way it's going to work.
Wait, let me get this straight. He's already a good boy, but he's going to pretend to be a bad boy so he can attract somebody. He could change him into a good boy.
Yes.
Okay, that's cute. That's funny.
Yeah. I think he was trying to be funny more than anything else. But I told him.
He won a Grammy. I mean, an Oscar.
Yeah, he was trying. He was trying too hard.
That is really cute. I mean, you know, to have an excuse to be a bad boy for a minute, that's kind of funny.
Yeah, and I know that some women do like the bad boys.
Yeah.
But we don't want them to be bad to us. And unfortunately, that's part of their persona. They can't help it. If they're bad, they're bad.
Right.
But so we had a little conversation about why he doesn't need to change. And I said, I think the best thing for you to do is to be grateful for the woman that's on her way to you. And she's going to be someone that aligns with you mentally, emotionally, intellectually, and spiritually. Because what more could you ask for?
Yeah. Be excited. Present tense.
And And so we talked about how, you can't sit there watching reruns of the Super Bowl and expect her to show up at the doorstep with a pizza and a six-pack of beer. You got to get out there.
Yeah. Unless when you call for that pizza and pack of beer, you request that it be a particular woman.
Well, that's true. That
you
is
know, no,
true,
people
too.
Don't even think about that, you know? Looking for the love of my life. If you could have her deliver my stuff, that'd be great.
Yeah. I mean, there have been stranger things happen.
Absolutely. I've witnessed that. But so, yeah, today is a mixed bag of emotions today. It's a day of feelings. It's a month of feelings. But I know that there are a lot of people who are just ignoring the Valentine's Day part. And I think, you know, if you don't have romance in your life and you don't want it, maybe you're that's okay. I'm keeping it simple right now. I'm not trying to do that. This day is still about love.
Yes.
You know, and
self-love.
And there's something, huh? What'd you say?
Self-love.
Yeah.
Love of yourself and love for each, love for, you know, generally mankind, humankind.
Yeah, that's where I was going. Exactly. It's an opportunity to be love, just to be it, and let that express as it does throughout your day, throughout the world. How amazing would that be if everybody did that?
And we have this phenomenal opportunity.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have read that scientifically they have proven that when people are the frequency on Christmas Day is higher than any other day because people are feeling good, they're sharing, they're giving gifts, they're taking gifts, there's this exchange of love and energy and giving and receiving. And so back in World War II, even, there was an unofficial ceasefire on Christmas Day. I think it only happened one of the, three or four years. But
wow.
It's interesting to note that people want to feel love. They don't need to feel romantic love per se.
Right.
But they need and they want to feel the love of mankind, the love for one another. That unconditional vibration.
Right. And it is just as, if not more, valuable.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean,
you know,
romantic.
When we were kids, I don't know if this happened for you, but for me, in elementary school, on Valentine's Day, I mean, we'd all go to school with a bunch of Valentine's cards for everybody.
Yes, everybody had to get one. And you dared not leave anybody out.
Right.
You wouldn't even think of doing it. And I can remember, depending on our teachers, our Valentine's Day receptacle changed. Sometimes it was a brown paper bag that we decorated. Sometimes it was a shoebox or some other small box.
Yeah. I remember that.
And it would be our Valentine box.
Right.
And it was so much fun to open those. And, you know, there was always one or two that was a surprise, like, oh, he really does like me, or
exactly.
Put hearts
you
on there.
See. You want to see what people think. So that's something I think for folks to know. People are interested in receiving the love from you. They want to know that even if it's never been something you've ever done, if you sent a heart-filled card to somebody just to say, you know, I sure appreciate your smile every day. I hope you have a wonderful day today. You know, happy Valentine's. Like, what a sweet thing, you know, and they would not necessarily feel like you were, you know, you wanted to go out with them. They understand that you're married or not married or you're, you know, it's not about that. And it just, instead, it's just a expression of that positive vibration, that joy that's going to lift somebody, and it's going to lift anybody who witnesses it.
It does. And that's, I think, why office romancers always attract so much attention from the entire office. If you see, you know, you see a couple flirting or just exchanging glances. Maybe it may mean absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
But it also, it could, I mean, I won't lie. I can't tell you how many little office, I won't call them flings, but they never went outside the office door. You know, they were always, there was a certain chemistry that when certain people would come into my world for a morning, you know, they'd pass by my office and just wink at me.
Right.
It made me feel good. There was nothing to it. Sometimes it was just simply a, hey, how are you?
Right.
Recognizing that I'm there kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I see you. And there were a few that made my heart flutter a little bit.
Yeah.
But it was always, I was married, he was married. And I'll never forget, there was this one time I reached out to a guy after my divorce, and I said, hey. And I knew that he had been married.
Right.
But he had also gotten a divorce. So when I got things settled down in my life, I reached out to him. I said, hey, guess what? We're both single now.
Right.
And I just have to confess that I've had a crazy crush on you. As long, and at that point in time, I had also moved on from the job, so we were no longer coworkers. I said,
right.
And, you know, I'm just thinking it might be a good time to start over with each other. He said, you know, your timing really sucks. He said, I just started dating somebody last week. I'm like, oh, okay. Next.
Right.
it was funny because, you know, he confessed that he also had a crush on me, but he had moved on and changed his direction, and he realized that I was not for him. And he's finally moved on to the other side of Earth. And so every now and then he'll come visit me. It's kind of fun.
Awesome.
I'll be like, yeah, I'll be hanging around doing nothing. And all of a sudden I'll sense, hey, Hal's right here. Whoa, how you doing, buddy?
Well, you know, your husband this time may not like to hear this, but this other one here, he may be like waiting on you for the next incarnation.
I know. And that would be kind of, that would be really cool. Because there's something special. I got two guys like that that are really, really special in my life. I just adore them as human beings. And one is gay, and the other one is dead now.
Okay.
So you just never know. And I'm excited about the potential of being able to share life with someone that I've known. I believe that my current husband is someone from my past.
Yeah.
I know that my youngest son and I've had several incarnations together.
Mm-hmm.
And we recognize each other in that.
Right.
And so the first time.
He recognizes you too?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we had a conversation. Well, we went, weird. This conversation's gone way off topic,
okay.
But I love it.
Yeah, it's okay. It's still in
it's
love.
All about love, and that's what we're talking about, manifesting love. And sometimes we don't manifest the love we think we need or want in this lifetime, but we're working on building it in the next lifetime.
Right.
But no, Matt was 19. I had just moved to Atlanta from South Carolina, and he came to visit. Well, I lived in Atlanta for 3 years. His visit lasted 6. He just never left for a long, long time. But that week, the first weekend that he had come to visit, we went to this place called Little Five Points, which is a little hippie kind of area, really our kind of place, you know, lots of beads and esoterics and readers and all weird stuff that you know, mainstream people go, ooh, stay away from Little Five Points. I'm like, yes, I can't wait to get there. So we went in because we saw this guy playing a didgeridoo. That was what drew us into the store. So we walked around a little bit, and there were these two, like, beach lounge chairs sitting side by side, and they had a little a pair of sunglasses and earphones. And I'm like, look at that. What is that? And I went around to the front, and it said, Mind Trip, $5 for 15 minutes. I'm like, oh, Matt, we got to do this. He goes, I'm game if you are. So we sat down in this chair, and they played every kind of music you could think of. I mean, you think of world music, electronica, jazz, classical, blues. It was there. Everything.
Wow.
Music. And if you had the sunglasses, if you looked at them, there were lights on just at your temples that were flashing. If you opened your eyes. But if you closed your eyes, you saw amazing things.
Wow.
It was like going on a trip, a mind trip.
Wow.
I don't know how it worked, but it was really, really cool.
Especially the close your eyes part. That's amazing.
Yeah, you close your eyes and you see things that you
can't,
you know, otherwise you're just looking at the store and you see flashing lights.
But you have the glasses on, right? And then when you close your eyes, it did this.
Yes, you saw a vision quest.
And it was just glasses. It wasn't anything. I'm like,
it was just sunglasses.
They
were cheap sunglasses, like ZZ Top would wear.
Wow,
just
amazing.
Cheap sunglasses.
I want some of those.
And I do. I should go back and find that store and see if they sell these things.
Totally.
Because now I want to buy the whole kit because I've got the lounge kit.
Exactly. Oh my God.
So afterwards, I was so energized and excited about it. And I said, Matt and I, we went walking. We walked from there to an Indian restaurant to get lunch. And so we were talking and discussing and, you know, eating lunch and whatnot. And we skirted around what we did. So when we were back out in the fresh air again, I said, Matt, I got to ask you. I need to know what you saw. I said, because I saw something, I experienced something that I have to share with you. And I want to know if you felt the same thing.
Right.
I said, so you start and tell me what you experienced. He said, well, I saw a chicken or a rooster that was like 6 foot tall, saw a lot of colors. I saw a lot of like water and big green fields. He was very vague still.
Right.
And I said, well, I didn't see the chicken. I said, but I saw you in my vision. He said, oh, I saw you in mine too.
Yeah.
I said, the thing is, Matt, when I saw you, you were my father. And
oh, wow.
I was a little girl. He goes, Mom. And he put his hand out and put his hand on my arm, I think, and stopped me. He goes, serious? Look me in the eye. You really saw that? That's what you saw? I said, yeah. I said, I wasn't so much of a seeing as experiencing. I felt it. He goes, Mom, I saw that too, but I didn't want to say anything because I figured you'd think I was on drugs. I said, well, you probably are. He said, well, yeah, a little bit, but, you know, just a little weed this morning. He said, but no, I can't believe you saw the same thing. He said, I thought I was tripping myself.
Right.
So since then, we've discussed this, and we know that we've been brother and sister.
Right.
Now, the one thing that he and I aren't clear on is whether we were older brother, older sister, younger sister, or if we were twins.
Right.
And I keep thinking that we were twins.
Tell me something.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry to interrupt you. How long ago was this when you guys had this discovery?
Oh, that would have been 2000 or 2001. So it's been 20 years.
Okay. So my next question is something that I bring up in the last book, Have We Met? How to Identify Reincarnated Love Gods.
I love that book.
Right.
I'm reading it again.
You are so funny.
It is so good.
Oh, my gosh. But listen, one of the things I say is like, okay, when you realize, when you learn, when you experience, when you understand with complete clarity that you have had another kind of relationship with this person who you're now in this new incarnation with, and you're having a different kind of relationship with than the one that you realized, to tell them or not to tell them. And then my contention, my platform that I come from in this book is really don't tell them. Unless it's going to serve a purpose. And sometimes we don't know, but I think that there's obviously that was supposed to be revealed, not only to you and your son, but then to each other. And so now my question becomes, how did that revelation play into like what your life is now? Because we don't, that stuff does not come up unless it's for our learning and unless
yes.
it relates to right now, right here. And so then I want to know, you know, I mean, it's enough for you to know it, but then for you both to know it, how does that play into your relationship? How, what has that done over the last 20 years?
Well, it helped us understand his fierce protectiveness of me.
Oh, yeah.
And the fact that we were siblings rather than parent and child helped us understand the playfulness in our relationship.
Right. You mean you had an incarnation where you were siblings. You also had an incarnation where you were the daughter and he was the father, right?
Correct. And now I'm the mother and he's the son.
Yeah, gotcha.
And I do not believe that I've had a previous incarnation with his brother, my oldest son.
Okay.
I think this is our first time connecting.
Okay.
And our relationships are totally different because Matt and I have this paternal, maternal relationship, but we also have a sibling, buddy-buddy type of relationship.
Right. Yeah. And I know that does happen. It's almost like you're on a bus with the same folks and you're traveling and you're all doing the same stops until suddenly, you know, a couple of you get off at a certain stop and you hang out there for a minute and then you get on a different bus and continue your journey and now you're with a different group of people and that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
I think it just gave us some clarity in why we behave the way we do toward each other.
Yeah.
And how we can be so really utterly free with our relationship. There's absolutely no boundaries. And we've never, I think we used to feel like, oh, well, I'm the father, you're the daughter, you must do what I say. And then I was the mother and I had to raise him. But once we got to that sibling connection, it was like, okay, you live your life, I'll live mine, and we'll, you know, we'll hook up whenever we can. We'll meet each other. And
doesn't this realization that you share other incarnations, which are actually happening right now, it's not like it was before or after or something. That's an illusion with reincarnation. We get that they are different lifetimes, but we kind of assume that it's kind of like each lifetime is like a loop on a chain. And so there's one, like if you died in 1922, then you would be born again after that, like, you know, 1923 or something. But the truth is all of these time is an illusion. It's just a tool in this, you know, incarnation or in this dimension, actually. And so while we do incarnations in this dimension, we use a clock. But the clock is really just like so that we
like
have
a ruler.
Perspective. A ruler, yeah.
It's
like
a
perspective thing. Suspense wouldn't be suspense. We wouldn't have cliffhangers if, you know, there was no time.
True.
It wouldn't matter. But the quality, there's a richness, there's a deepening that happens to a relationship when you get that you're doing other ones. And then there's an even thicker, I want to say, understanding when you have certain things go down, especially when they pop out of the blue. Like, where does that come from? Why is this emotion happening?
Oh,
why are we going through this right now?
Have I got a story for you?
Yeah?
Talking about manifesting love.
Yeah?
You know, I just told you that my older son and I have a different relationship than my younger son and I.
Right.
Because I don't sense that Richard and I have ever encountered each other in any incarnation on any time or level. Or sometimes I think of myself as you know what a lava lamp is, right?
Yeah.
I kind of feel like my existence is like a lava lamp without the lamp. I'm
nice.
Just swirling in a multitude of colors throughout the universe, and,
okay.
and I'm ebbing and flowing and mixing and matching, and I'm connecting and touching, and I don't know. I'm
yeah.
just like effort. I just feel, and as I'm doing that, my body is just, my hands are waving. I feel like I should be floating right now.
That's
there,
such
there
a
are times,
great example. Oh, my God.
There are times that my body holds me here, thankfully,
mm-hmm.
because I love the experience that I'm going through right now, but there are times that I kind of wish I could shed it and move on. But,
okay, yeah.
But I'm not suicidal by any stretch of the imagination. Y'all keep your phones on. But Richard and I have always had, we've always loved each other. But
yeah.
And his son made the comment yesterday, well, you're my grandmother. Of course I love you. I'm like, no, the two don't have to go hand in hand.
Yeah.
You don't have to like the people you're related to.
Exactly.
In fact, I've divorced one of my sisters, and it has totally changed my outlook on how I relate to her.
Right.
It's I still have conversations with her, but
right.
I don't have to love her anymore.
Right.
So Richard and I didn't. We've always loved each other, but I think some of it was out of obligation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love this kid. This kid is almost 45 years old. I love him deeply. He made me a mother. But his relationship and mine is not the same as anybody. Well, nobody's two relationships are the same. But I've always thought, especially after I divorced his dad, that he didn't like me at all. I thought, he just doesn't like me. He loves me. You know, he loves me because I'm his mom, but I don't think he likes me very much.
Right.
And so I started manifesting that Richard and I would have a mutually respectful, loving mother and son relationship, mother and adult son, you know, because I needed to make sure that was clear that I have an adult relationship with my son, with both of my sons. But
you say you decided to set about to manifest this on purpose.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I did. And it came.
What did you do, though, to make that happen? Because we're going to talk more about that. I know there are folks who want to manifest love.
I wrote in my manifest journal, which is basically what I do. That's how I do it.
Yeah.
Thank you, God, universe, spirit, source, for this mutually respectful, loving relationship that I have with my son, Richard.
Right.
That was all I said. That's all I did. And I didn't change the way I interacted with him at all.
Yeah, but more happened. Because when you wrote that, there was other stuff on other levels happening within you. And that's where it...
Exactly.
It, you know.
But I was also willing to accept him mm-hmm. at whatever level he was. And what I'm trying to get at is, over the years, he has... given me gifts on all the gifting occasions.
Yeah.
That felt, some of them felt like they were last minute thoughts.
Okay.
Or oh shit, it is another Mother's Day. Here's a gift, huh? You know, oh damn, it's her birthday again. Oh,
right.
Here's a card, you know. Ah. But this year.
Yeah.
For Christmas in February, I finally,
yeah.
we had weird days that we just couldn't get together for Christmas. He gave me
right.
a gift. He was so proud of it.
Right.
Usually when I meet him, I hug him. And this time he didn't even give me a hug. He was like, here's your Christmas gift. I'm like, okay. It was a 1955 Smith Corona manual typewriter.
Wow.
It was created.
Did you want that?
I did.
Oh.
But
did
more
he know
so,
that?
I didn't know that he knew that.
Wow.
I didn't know that he'd been searching for one for years.
Oh my God, you're kidding me.
It's 1955 is the year I was born. That's what makes it so special.
Oh, my gosh.
He took it home, and he cleaned it up, and he oiled it and made sure all the keys were working. And it's perfect. It's beautiful. It's just such a symbol of love.
Right.
That at that point I knew I don't have to worry. I'd manifested the relationship I wanted with my son, because
right.
he and I don't talk like his brother and I do. His brother's a writer. I am a writer. So we can talk about writing and reading and books and all this. Now, Richard
right.
loves to read, but Richard is not a talker.
Hmm.
And because of Richard's career in the military, he also has pretty serious PTSD.
Okay.
And he's been through some shit. But he's never been a big talker, and now he's even less of a talker. And, you know, I have to respect that. But
right.
part of this manifesting meant that I had to accept him where he is. And
yeah.
once I could actually accept him without expectations or requirements,
right.
then he was free to love me the way he needs to. And it
yeah.
was by finding something that he knew I've wanted for a long, long time and not discussing it with me, but just getting it for me.
Aw. Well, that is awesome, and I love how that felt. And so it seems like everything that you wanted came to you. It's unwritten, unsaid. It's felt, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So do you think there are folks out there who are wanting to make romance who are just even, forget it, now that they've heard this, just want more love in their world? What do you think we can have them do? I've got a list of things, but you're going to have them write something.
I would definitely have them write something. But
it's good to get cognizant about what you want.
But they could do a vision board. Or they could just state it out loud. But the important thing is they have to believe it. They have to believe they deserve it. They have to expect it to happen. And just tell the universe how grateful they are for whatever relationships they've got right now.
Yeah, this is true. I would do... definitely say, does anybody have a diffuser? I would start doing some, there's some aromas that will enhance
ooh,
this without
yeah.
even thinking about it. Because I'm all about, you know, you do the writing and you know, get cognizant about it. But first, it's nice to sit with yourself and realize what you want and what you don't want, what needs to maybe change and would be better. I mean, because that's what this incarnation is about.
I'll change. I'll be a bad boy if I have to.
Oh, my good Lord.
You know, sometimes we do need to
be the ones. I think that was going to be fun for him. You can't convince me that he was not going to have fun with that.
Oh, he was.
Absolutely. So when I say, you know what, go ahead, be your bad boy for a minute, if that's what you want to do. Get it out of your system.
I have a funny feeling he wouldn't know how.
Right, then there's that. And it would have been kind of comical for those watching. But
yeah.
And the harder he tried, the funnier it might be, but that's awesome. Go ahead. That's
funny.
Perfect.
Good. If you can't laugh, what
yes.
have you got?
Exactly. Completely. And maybe it's in that he finds that perfect, adorable, wonderful person who sees what he's doing and realizes the real him who she absolutely adores. Oh, my God, that was a love story.
I love it.
Did everybody feel that? Oh, my God. So, diffusers, because when stuff goes up your nose, it touches your things, parts, brain, and don't even have to think about it anymore. It just causes stuff to happen. So,
isn't that why on Valentine's Day they give perfume and roses?
No.
Because there's that aroma.
I think, okay, kind of and kind of not. I'll go with it on the roses. And then the perfume was a, I think that was a modernized mistake.
Oh, okay.
Because now we've got some chemicals that are not necessarily good for us in there. Unless you're giving somebody an essential oil, seriously, there's a really, really expensive perfume that I've loved for years. I think it's like a probably about $200-$300 for like a teeny weeny, like just a drop, like it's called Joy. And I bumped into it and, oh my gosh, I forget where I was, but there was a friend and she was working for this company. She's like, smell this. I was like, oh my God, I was so in love. And she gave me a little tester and that's all I ever had is the tester. And I've an occasion check, but you know, my intelligence also tells me that there's stuff in perfume that's yeah. not necessarily healthy for us. And so I have grown a loving for just wearing essential oils as a perfume, but knowing that it's completely healthy, comes directly from a plant with nothing else mixed in. So now, if you have a diffuser, everybody, I would recommend getting some certain things if your concentration is to increase the love potion in your life. So rose, of course, we know, like we're talking about the roses.
Mm-hmm.
Rose is the bomb. And remember, this is stuff that you do. I'd love to give you things that you do that you don't have to think about, concentrate on so much. So rose, nutmeg, sandalwood is one of my faves. Favorite. I'm only going to mention stuff that I can pronounce because there's this one, like, I don't know if I've experienced it. I have to go check it out, but neroli, N-E-R-O-L-I.
Neroli oil is the best.
Really?
I had never heard of it until one of my friends that I met through Be Unique. I am so grateful for Be Unique for bringing people like you into my life, Jillian.
Yeah.
I met Kathy, and she has a business called The Little Green Oasis. She grows a lot of her own herbs and plants and makes her own essential oils, actually. In fact, she just sent me some body butter that she made from gardenia blossoms she got from my house.
I love it. And body butter, that's great.
Oh, yeah. But she sent me, just out of the blue one day, a bottle of neroli oil, but she calls it sprays, S-P-R-A-Z-E. It's like a mister. It's mixed in with, like, I think witch hazel, maybe. Let me look at this bottle and see what it says. Yeah, she calls it Princess Neroli. Made with pure, natural, and organic ingredients, distilled water, organic witch hazel, aloe juice, fractional coconut oil and essential oils, frankincense and neroli, and it smells like heaven.
Wow.
Yeah, it just makes me feel, and I'm just spraying some on my face right now because I want to. It's a fresh, you know, it's a little pick-me-up. It's a little, whenever you're feeling like you got, I need a Snickers. No.
Right. I just got the vision of skipping along a sidewalk.
Yeah.
Does it kind of make you feel like that?
Yes, it does. It makes you feel like a child again.
That is awesome. Well, so, and you know, love does have that light flavor to it where it makes you feel that. So see, there you go. Neroli, y'all. There it is. And another couple are ginger. Oh, well, ginger, just by itself, that's a whole, like, subject. And so it makes me want to inject ginger into what I'm drinking, into tea, into food, into, you know, just have it around and know that the energy of it has that benefit. But ylang-ylang.
Yes.
I love saying ylang-ylang. Now, you know, for my taste, it's got, it's such a sweet aroma.
Very heavy.
Yeah, super duper so. So it's almost like, you know, I'd want to not do too many drops of that. But there was a recipe. Let me see. Now that I'm not on that page, I found it online. But it was cool. It was a cool recipe. I love recipes for these. But they were recommending 3 drops of 3 different things. One was rose. One was ylang-ylang. The other one might have been black pepper, which is weird.
Ooh,
I know. Black pepper is another one that's actually, even just by itself, is an they've been able to get oil from it, and you can use that. I have not experienced black pepper oil and what that is like coming out of a diffuser. I'm wondering if it's going to make me sneeze. I know it's not, but, and that in itself should be interesting. I'm going to order some today. So next time we talk, I will be able to tell you what the black pepper oil is like.
Yeah. I love
black pepper
it.
It's a love oil.
I did not know that.
Yes, ma'am. There you go. So there's that. And then there are the colors. You know, what colors do you just want to just inject into your space, into, you know, pink? White is beginning again, newness, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, there's that. And I think California just had a little earthquake, just a little one, just one.
Oh,
so then I'm teeny weeny, eensy beensy. But just wanted to let you know.
God's vibrator. Sorry.
Hey, it's Valentine's Day. What? Don't say you didn't get a present. Dang it.
That's right.
Anyway, okay, that's funny. And I haven't had coffee yet even. But what's another color? Green, because heart chakra. So the greens, the pinks, and pink is a heart chakra color too. And it's kind of cool that the heart chakra has 2 colors. But the green I love because it's, you know, you're nurturing, and that's that kindness, and, you know, that's there. And then the pink, that makes me think of self-esteem and confidence, and but you're also feeling that for others. You're seeing the truth of that in others. So your compassion for others as well as for yourself. So there you have some tools just to be, not even, well, yeah, to begin with. So starting with the writing, and, you know, you're going to, like, do what you've been told here. Make that list, right?
Yeah.
It's a list. Or is it, well, the visualization is, to me, when I do a visualization, I do present tense, living it now. I hop into the movie and live it for 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. I'm in my Ferrari. My hair is blowing because it's convertible. And my romantic other is right beside me and has just put a ring on my finger, and I'm just staring at it, but I'm watching my driving at the same time. In fact, I'm watching my driving and watching the ring, which is on my steering wheel as I'm cruising along in my Ferrari, and it feels so amazing. So it's present tense. And, you know, what does it feel like? And you get that feeling viscerally, your whole being, to be in that moment where maybe it's, again, not romantic love, but you're just feeling good. I'm feeling good. I'm walking through the office today, and everybody is, you know, taking a minute to look and smile and say hello to me and have interaction, and it just feels really good today, and I know that I'm loved, and I love everybody, and it just... can't wait to have lunch, and I'm having my sandwich, and if it tastes really good, it's extra good today. You know?
You're making me hungry.
That's what I call living visions. Kind of like
I love it. I love
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you jump in.
Yeah, those little personal movies are the best because
yeah.
I have mine and I think that I'm in them for like an hour. You know, I'm like, okay, where's the intermission? And I look at my clock, and it's only been about 15 seconds, you know.
Yeah.
Because they can happen so fast.
It's kind of like daydreaming, but it's conscious.
Yes. I'm daydreaming on purpose.
Yes, with purpose.
With purpose, exactly.
Yeah, know that it is very powerful. And the idea is that you're getting used to it. And your body and your energy field and all that has no idea that you are just making this up. And so then it begins to react as though it is real. And so that's how the law of attraction works. That's where, you know, the energy goes out and creates stuff.
Yeah, and, you know, we just have to be mindful. That's the big thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You feel it, you smell it. I forget how powerful aromas are because,
yeah.
I mean, I can smell somebody's macaroni and cheese casserole cooking and I go back to my grandma's house.
Right.
I can smell cornbread. I'm over at Aunt Connie's.
Yeah. And
you know, there are certain things that take me certain places. Yeah.
Yes. And it's a feeling. Yeah. And so how many minutes do we have left?
None. But we're into overtime now. The live show's over.
I did pull a card today for everybody. And
oh, I'd love to hear that.
I asked the universe first, you know, what card, you know, would be of service to those listening and whatnot. And I got the King of Cups. And Cups is an emotion placed. And got the king of it. So that was about equilibrium, mindfulness. You just reminded me when you said mindfulness, and humanity. So mindfulness is key to, you know, making an impact, right? And then the King of Cups, though, is able to carry an emotion with intention, you know, attitude. Yeah. So.
That's beautiful for today.
Yeah. There you go.
The intention is key. And intention and mindfulness go hand in hand. But I can't tell you how many things I've manifested for myself that I've wanted and didn't realize what I was doing. And I think, my God, if I knew what I was doing, if I knew how powerful I am, I'm probably a good thing I didn't know how powerful I am.
Right.
Because I'd have gotten into so much trouble.
But I think on the positive side of that, you're powerful compassionately. And the thing about today is compassion. And so I believe that one of the things the King of Cups and about this date and what it reminds us to do is to incorporate compassion in everything that we do, in every circumstance. And today, especially, compassion for everyone. So much kindness. Random acts of crazy kindness today. That's Valentine's Day. Yeah.
That is the best way to celebrate Valentine's Day, especially if you're not in a romantic relationship. If you start spreading love randomly, to, you know, just give your love out in a smile, a wave. You don't have to do or buy anything. Just acknowledge your fellow human beings. Let somebody in front of you in traffic. Open the door for somebody.
Yeah.
Just smile and nod at the next homeless person you see and say, I see you.
Right.
I know you're there. I've got nothing to give you, but I just wanted to acknowledge you. That makes all the difference in the world. And I believe that that is manifesting in the highest form.
Absolutely.
You're manifesting love. If you're looking for romantic love, it's going to come to you quicker if you're already a kind, giving, loving person.
Right. Yeah, and that's being a form of guidance, too, because you're being witnessed, and everybody who's witnessing you is experiencing the benefits of that. You know, your immune system gets better. You know, there's so much good that happens when we see and experience that kindness, but we're heavily influencing people, you know, when we do that. And then in your own way, enjoying what you're doing. Like, you know, not faking it, because it does feel good to be kind to other folks.
It does.
Yeah.
Like you said, you get as much as you give.
Yeah, then there's that. Well, damn. I've loved spending Valentine's morning with you.
I love it. It was the best part of my day. It's been kind of a crazy day around here, but this was perfect. I always look forward to spending time with you anyway, but
yeah.
it's a great way to start Valentine's Day.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. I rode through a bunch of obsidian with my Jeep last weekend. I'll tell you about that next time.
Oh,
yeah, there was
nice.
Obsidian mountain, a mountain made of obsidian. And I had to wrap my head around that because I'm like, okay, that somewhere in there is the word volcano. But we'll talk about that next time.
You must have been totally vibrating the whole time.
It was
time.
Amazing. It was
that's awesome.
It was awesome to be able to share with the group I was with where we were then. Like, I'm like, okay, if that be the case, then here's where we are right now. Here's what's going on. It was really
I love
incredible.
It because, you know, we can manifest a lot using obsidian. So we'll talk about that next month.
Okay, that
thank
sounds
you,
good.
Jillian. You
have
a wonderful day.
Happy
Monday and happy Valentine's Day and just happy life.
I love y'all. I love you.
I love you,
everybody.
Jillian.
Love, love,
I love,
love
the
love.
Rest of the world too. Bye, everybody. Thank you for listening today. Remember to come back every Monday at 11 a.m. for another Manifest lesson. The second and fourth Mondays, I am live, and my guests always have something interesting to share. Be sure to follow Be Unique Radio on Blog Talk Radio or your favorite platform, and check out all our other Manifest Monday shows. If you have questions, want me to guide you on your Manifest journey, or would like a transcript of this show, just reach out to me through BeUnique.org or email me at manifestmondayshow@gmail.com. Until then, stay present, stay positive, and always remain grateful. I'm your host, Mary Brotherton. Thank you for joining us today.